session number 17628, Mr. Joseph Clark, Reel 2.
Mr. Clark, Reel 2. You joined then in the July of 1939, in effect, as a militia man.
Yes.
How did that come about? How did the militia work?
Well, I don't know. The government decided to have conscription. That was where it come from. It was all done through the government.
Where did you report to?
Pennon Barracks.
Before we go on, how did your parents feel about you being conscripted into the army?
Well, they were a bit worried, naturally. But there wasn't any fuss or anything. Just went.
They reported to Pennon Barracks. How were you received when you first went there that very first day?
Well, of course, I would imagine there'd be probably anywhere between 120, 150 lads. All came in on the same day, you know. And there were already regular sergeants and officers there. And you were split up into, like, what do you call them? Sections? So many to a sergeant. And then you were taken to your barrack room. The beds in those days, there were iron beds that used to pull out, extend, and you had three straw biscuits. We call them straw biscuits. And two sheets and a pillow, and that was it. That was your responsibility.
Did they give was there a name to the barrack room that you were in? Did it have a name?
No, it was always Pennon Barracks.
And the squad itself didn't have a name or a number?
No, the only way we used to refer to it was by the name of the sergeant.
Who was that?
We had a Sergeant Taylor. And say, what squad he's in? Well, we're in Sergeant Taylor's squad.
What was he like?
All right. He was a regular. Of course, you all used to get, when you did get going, they got you down on the square, barrack square, you know.
Can we talk about the barrack room and the conditions in which you found yourself? Did they issue you with a uniform immediately?
We started off with a denim suit. Denims to train in. And we didn't get a battle dress straight away, but when we went down into Newcastle, we went down in civvies for the first few days, and then we were given a battle dress, which had just come out then, because the army was still with the old type of uniforms, but we were given a battle dress. Straight away.
And what did that comprise of?
Well, there's your tunic and your trousers, putties.
You still had putties then?
Yeah, small putties. The old type of soldier had the big putties, but we just had short ones. And then we were allowed to go down into the city with a battle dress on.
Was it easy to put the putties on?
Oh, yes. You were shown how to do it. Oh, yes.
In the barrack room itself, you talked very briefly there about the beds. How many would there be in a room?
I would think there'd be at least 24, 12 each side. I would guess that. Yeah.
And how was the room heated?
Do you know? I can't remember.
Some stove contraption in the middle of the room or something?
I was thinking of where.
July, of course, it wouldn't be that cold.
No, I can't remember that.
You would look after your bed and arrange it in a certain way.
A certain way. Even your spare pair of boots had to be lined up at the end of the bed, you know. And when you got up in the morning, you made your bed, you had your blankets and your two sheets. And then you were taught a special way how to wrap your blanket, and then a sheet, then a blanket, then a sheet, and then wrap them round. That type of thing, you know. Oh, aye. And then the sergeant would come along and woe betide. You had to put it right.
And was that a sergeant's inspection every morning? Did he come in?
Well, you had the corporal before him, before the sergeant arrived. So the corporal used to do the telling you little bits of things, you know.
You were taught how to lay your beds out and so
forth. Oh, yes. Yes.
Did you have lockers for keeping?
Yes, there was a locker behind the bed, up a height. Yes.
You kept your own bed space clean?
Yes. And then every so often, all the floors had to be polished, greased and polished, but everybody had to join in.
How was that done?
Had what we used to call bumpers. Somebody put the polished grease, or you call it grease, put it on the floor, and then they used to bump it backwards and forwards.
It's like a heavy block on the end of the shaft.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Was there a table in the room? Communal table?
Yes, there was one or two along the barrack room.
How were they kept clean?
Well, they're more or less polished and made sure there's no dust around, you know. Or it had to be spotless. Mm.
You issued with your battle dresses, you say. What other implements did they issue with at the very beginning, initially?
Well, of course, you had your kit bag and your shirts, vest, pants. Of course, your hat and things, you know, the normal things you would wear. Two pair of boots, one for when you were out on training, and the others for, you had to keep them polished.
Webbing equipment?
Oh, yes, you got all that eventually. It took a while. One of the first things you used to do was take along to the barbers and get a haircut.
Were you marched everywhere?
Yes.
In the barrack room, you used to say there would be 24 other chaps in there altogether. How did you settle to a situation where you had so many people around you so close?
Well, it was remarkable. I never had any trouble at all. Now and again, there was a bit of one or two of the lads larking on, you know, but there was never had any bother at all in my memory.
No bullying or initiation
stories
you hear about?
No. There was always, when you went into the gym and things like that, there was always someone, I'm better than you type of thing. But we got on, I got on all right. Made a lot of good friends from all walks of life. I mean, we were minors, but we found wearing the army boots, it wasn't so bad because we'd got used to them in the pit. But some of the lads had come in, the suffered with blisters and what have you. You know, they weren't used to heavy boots.
Were any of the chaps in your barrack room that settled down very badly, were finding it a problem?
Not that I can remember. See, really, it was a novelty. Going into, away from home, you're going into the army, and it was something out of the ordinary. Little did you know what was to come later on. No,
So when you went in July, you were only going for a certain period of time.
6 months. 6 months.
What were they paying you for the 6 months?
Well, when we went into army as a militia lad, we got 1 6 pence a day, which is equivalent to 7.5p now. And that was all we got, 10 6 pence a week. And out of that, you had to allow 3 6 pence a day, 3 6 pence home to your parents. So they had, more or less, they were still responsible for you, in a way. That's what we got, 10 6 a week, 1 6 pence a day. That was in the militia. Now, when they declared war, I remember going training, and we had a sergeant. He said, you're now on 2 shillings a day. That was an army soldier's pay, 2 shillings a day. And we got that then. But we still had a militia number. But when the war broke out, we were given a DLI number.
What was your militia number? Do you remember it?
1011-7234.
And your DLI number that followed it?
4457247.
But quite a fall for you. You were saying you were over just over a pound a week, I think you said, when you went into the army, mm-hmm. down the pits, and mm-hmm. now you're right down to
1 6 pence a day.
1 6 pence a day.
Yeah.
Did you find that hard in the beginning?
Well, you did. Many a time, if you got home, you know, of course, the price in the buses weren't so great. You say, get some more pocket money from your parents to come back.
Were you the only one in your family that had been put into the militia?
Yes. See, I hit the age group, and then that was the first militia. But after that, the miners, they were what they called, put a red circle around. They didn't go into the army. They kept the miners at home. See, but we couldn't come back.
This was because they were skilled men and they didn't want to take too
much. Didn't want to lose the miners. That was the original how they came to have the Bevan boys eventually, you know, in the 40s.
Did you resent it that you were being forced in and your other people around you were not?
Well, you felt it was a bit, you know, a bit strange, really. But you see, as I say, the age group must have been June to August. And if you were 20, 21 in there, that was it. Well, you see, I was 20 on the 15th of July when I went to Fenham, but 11 days afterwards, I was 21. Now, a friend of mine, his birthday was the 28th of June. So that's what makes me say it must have been June, July, and maybe the beginning of August. And if you were that age group, that was it. You were in. I met a lot of good lads. Still have lots of memories of them.
Who was your first friend?
Oh, Joe White, that's the lad, he's now emigrated, he's in Australia now. Oh, he belonged to the colliery. He was a good lad, him. Eventually he became a sergeant. He was a good instructor as the time went on. Of course, I had one local lad with me, Arthur Templey. Him and I were good friends. He went away at the same time. He lived in the 2 streets away from me. But eventually he got wounded when we come to Dunkirk. And that was his army days finished.
You've mentioned Sergeant Taylor and your corporal.
I'll tell you who the corporal was. He used to live in the DLI cottages in Durham. George Self. And he died not so long ago. He was the Lance Corporal.
He had quite a war record, didn't he?
He had. He had. I met him once. I went to see him once or twice in the fellowship. He used to go up to Framelgate. I forget the name of the... He was a good lad, George Self. I don't know how he come to the pitch, because I never thought he was a Durham lad. He might have been.
You mentioned the fellowship there. If we could just bring that up, since you have mentioned it. What organization was the fellowship? Was it a 9 day alive veteran?
No, no, everybody. Anybody could be in the fellowship. Whether you're in the Navy, Army, Air Force.
Did you have an officer in charge of you whilst you were in Fenham?
Yes, there was, of course, there was a commanding officer there. I can't remember his name. There was a major, I don't know his Captain Stobart, I think it was. They went on to get higher positions, you know, as the war progressed. I think the major was a man called Vier.
Did you have a platoon officer?
Not at Fenham Barracks. No.
But mainly that it was your sergeant and your corporal.
Sergeants and corporals. You had a sergeant, a corporal, and a lance corporal.
What time did your day start?
6 a.m.
Can you take me through a typical Fenham day? What happened from to you after, well, from 6 a.m. onwards?
Well, used to, 6 o'clock was reveille, and used to go down, I think you got a pot of tea, and then, of course, you had to go and start and get ready. Sometimes you went straight out for PT, physical training, out onto the square. That was very important. And we'd probably get our breakfast around about 7, I would think, 7:30.
Were you marched to breakfast?
No.
Just made your own way across that time?
Down into the dining hall.
What would you get for breakfast?
What would you call it? Bacon? Eggs? Sometimes sausage? That would be the type of thing you would get.
Porridge, was that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Was it well cooked? Well prepared?
Yes. Oh, yes.
How did the canteen work? Was it a cafeteria system or did you...
No. You went in with your mess tin then. That was it. In the barracks, sometimes you had one of these, what do you call them? Aluminium plate or metal plate of some sort. But, you know, I just went and lined up and the cooks would... fill it up. Take it or leave it.
Was the bread available for you?
Yes. Yes.
And you say that would be around about 7 o'clock, and how long would you be allowed for your breakfast?
About half an hour.
How did you clean your utensils and so on?
I believe there was some sort of container, hot water in, used to dip your plate and so on into it. Whether they got washed after that or not, I don't know. But that would be to take all the grubby parts off it, I would think.
Well,
of course, you had dining room orderlies, you know. They used to do a lot of cleaning up with pans and things like that, cooking utensils. But that was brought in gradually. Wait till you got settled in a bit, because we were just militia lads.
Yeah. After 7:30 or thereabouts, you would then go away and...
back to your barrack room.
What would happen to you then?
Back to the barrack room and you'd be told what was on, and then the sergeant would tell you, get dressed, and you're out on the barrack square.
No, you've never been on a barrack square, you'd never done any drills. What was the first thing they taught you?
More physical training. It was more physical training at first, before you did any marching. You know, more or less get you tuned up, I suppose.
Some of you would be pretty fit because of the hard work you'd done.
Yes.
But others, of course, would need more
time. They were, yes.
Did you find it hard yourself at the beginning?
No, not really. I think if you set your mind to say, well, I'm here, I'll make the best of it. I remember going in front of the company commander, I suppose, Stobart. He interviewed everyone separate and asked them about where you'd been and what have you, and this, that, and the other. And I can remember him saying, you can have a good life in the army or a bad life. It's up to you. If you want a good life, we can give it to you. But if you want a bad one, you can have that as well, you know. I can remember him saying words to that effect. But you gradually got used to it. You didn't see the officer all the time. But we did a lot of training on the... Once we started marching, you know, that was a bit hard at times.
Was it light infantry pace from the very beginning, or did you gradually work up to it?
About 120, is it? Yeah, oh yes, we were trained to do the DLI march. Used to make your shins a bit sore and all, you know, with you having putties on and things. Done right into me, marches very fast.
So you did you do a spell of drill on the barrack square. What would you move to after that? Did you have a break in the middle of the morning?
Oh yes, sometimes you did games. We even played hockey on the barrack square, and then of course we went out. You did a lot of running. You know, I can remember once running from Fenham Barracks. There was all the squads were together then. They put you together for this race, you know. And we went up the Jedburgh Road and came back round somewhere near the town moor, and it would be a canny journey. Maybe about 4 miles or more. Came back into the back of Fenham Barracks. Of course, they took notice of what turns you came in. Well, I liked it. I liked running. And you went straight into the shower when you got back up that.
Did you run in PT clothing?
Oh, yes. You had your vest and your shorts, you know.
You put a great deal of emphasis on getting you physically fit.
PT. We used to go into the gym, you know, and do a lot of gym work on the bars and the horse and things like that, you know. You did a lot of gym work. Of course, you had a gym instructor used to come along and take you in that after a time. But I can remember on a weekend, you used to get all the squads together on the square with four sergeants, I think. But there used to be an APT instructor, Army Physical Training Instructor. And he used to stand on a table he could see everybody. And he used to take you through the drill, that one man. He could see who was doing right and who was doing wrong. That was a bit rough. Of course, from there, you know, Fenham Barracks, once they start to bring the reservists back into the army, they moved us out of Fenham Barracks, and they'd already built a set of what we called the militia huts on the other side of the road. Of course, they were a lot better than the barracks, you know. And we moved into there to allow the reservists to take over the barracks again.
What kind of date would this be?
Well, the war broke out in September the 3rd. Somewhere near the end of September, I would think, when they start to bring the reservists in. See, they're bringing them in gradually. And those men, when they came back in, if they'd been a regular and had left the army even 3 or 4 years ago, I think some of them were on reserve for 12 years, I think. 7 in the colours and 12. They came back in the rank they went out. If they'd been a corporal when they went out, they came back as a corporal, as a reservist, and a sergeant, and so on. And then we were in the militia huts. And then they moved us down.
What were the militia huts like? You said they were better than the barrack room.
There were no stairs to climb, you know. No stairs to climb. There was the beds were different as well. You know, it seemed to be, what shall we say, Fenham Barracks was way back in the ages with the beds and things, but these was more modernised.
So we mentioned drills and we mentioned a bit PE, PT and running and so forth. That would bring you up to lunchtime, did it?
Oh, yes.
For lunch, what would you get?
Well, you used to get a lot of stew in those days, you know. Sausage and mash, that type of thing. It was basic, really. There was nothing spectacular.
Was there plenty of it?
Yes. There was always an orderly officer came around, and if you had any complaint, only one from the table made the complaint. Everybody didn't stand up. One was nominated at the end of the table, and he would stand up and make the complaint. And the officer, sometimes he'd do something, sometimes he didn't. He might have the cook sergeant with him. Tell him, more bread or what have you.
There was no question of being punished because you complained.
No. No.
It was taken seriously.
No. If the officer asked you a question, you answered him.
Did you have a dessert as well as your main meal, main course?
Well, I suppose there was. More or less, what would you say, rice or something like that, you know?
And was this still lining up with your utensils and you weren't seated at tables and served or anyone had to go
no,
off the table?
Oh, no, you had to go
it?
And get it. There was nobody served.
You'd still lined up as you did with breakfast?
Nobody waited on. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What time would lunch be?
12:30, 1:00.
And how long would you get?
Generally about half an hour. About half an hour.
That would bring you to the afternoon. What would you do in an afternoon?
Well, sometimes you had to, you're given time to clean your equipment, your shoes and things, you know. Your webbing, you know, used to blank out and things like that. You're given time off to clean up. And that took you up to tea time. Well, tea was... Well, I mean, I can't really remember. All them years back. But we were all right. In my opinion, we were all right.
Was there a canteen that you could go to?
We never went to the canteen. There was a canteen, yes. We never went to it. We didn't have the money. Sometimes we used to walk down into Newcastle, down past the RVI. We used to go that way, just walk around. We weren't allowed to go to Jesmond Dean. That was out of bounds.
Why was that?
Well, I think it might have been the girls, I suppose. Keep you right. But we weren't allowed to go to Jesmond Dean, not in my time at Fenham. And you weren't allowed to stop and talk to anybody on Barrack Road. Women, that is. No.
How did the civilians accept you as young soldiers?
All right. When I was at Fenham, the first guard I did it from Fenham Barracks, believe it or not, was on Gateshead Railway Station. And they used the waiting room as the guard room. And the first tour of duty there, we were marching up and down the platform. And then the second tour of duty I did there was, they took us to the King Edward Bridge. Up on the King Edward Bridge, and you were in twos. And we used to walk from the Gateshead end crossed towards Newcastle, and the lads from the Newcastle Central Station end used to walk towards you, and you used to meet in the middle. And then we had a torch, and there was lads also down at the base of the King Edward Bridge, and used to flash a light if you were okay, down to the lads on the riverside. And then the next tour of duty was that I went onto the base of the King Edward. That was my three guards. Some went up to Accrington.